Right. Well, as we come to our Sunday school class this morning, this is really kind of the pinnacle. This is the culminating point of what we've been looking at for the past 2 or 3 months as we've been looking at the church and community. And you'll remember as we began this study, we started with the one another's of the New Testament and talked about loving one another, praying for one another, caring for one another, all of those one another's, and asking questions about how, as God has added to us as a church, how do we care for one another better? How do we love one another better? And we started with some of those themes. And then we've also talked about the issue of us being kingdom exiles in this world, that from Jeremiah 29 plus New Testament evidence that we are strangers, we are sojourners, we are pilgrims here, and nevertheless, we are to seek the shalom of the places that we live, and that we are to seek to do good in both works of mercy, works of justice, evangelism, a whole broad spectrum of things. And so we've been covering that the past couple of months and trying to work toward really what is coming to a head now that most of you know about in regards to community groups. So what we would like to do, what I've been commissioned by the elders to do, is to lay out something of our plan and where we're headed. If some of you have really been asking a lot of questions about what this means and where we're headed, hopefully today we'll satisfy some of those things and give more direction to that. And so let's just jump in and give a overview of kind of what we gave some community group leaders that we'll be talking about later, what we gave them 2 Saturdays ago as we are beginning this phase of our church life. First of all, the purpose of the church and community. When we began that elders meeting to talk about what it is we wanted to do, what did we want community groups to accomplish, what did we want really as the vision of our church, we took some things from some other sources and kind of boiled them down. And here's the big picture. And as we go along, there's going to be a lot of concepts here. I just want to say up front, concepts that are not going to be implemented immediately. They're going to be implemented over time. We're going to work our way into them. And so if you see what we're talking about here and you feel overwhelmed like we do and the community group leaders do, please know that this is more or less casting a vision, thinking about the direction, thinking where we want to go in 2, 5, 10 years, as opposed to by next week, we want all the community groups doing all of these things, okay? So don't panic, please. So first of all, we asked the question about the purpose of the church in community. What are we trying to accomplish? And we came up with four major categories of things. First of all, most fundamentally and most importantly, connecting people to the triune God. To God himself, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what all of this is an attempt to further cultivate and exercise our stewardships of responsibility to bring people to know God more deeply, whether it's through worship, private worship, family worship, public worship, whatever that may be, personal devotions, being in the word and being in prayer, or whether it be connecting God, people to God through evangelism who do not yet know the Lord. That is a major and that is the most foundational, that is the most fundamental, because if we do all of the other things that follow, we're not being true worshipers. We're not seeking the one who has sought us in the gospel. And so I don't want to pass by this too quickly, but again, this is by itself something that could be expanded on for the next infinite amount of Sunday schools. But this is what this is really about, is as we do these things, getting people connected to, or to use a different terminology, to know God more deeply, to know God for who he is as he's revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to proclaim faithfully who he is to people who don't know him, to proclaim faithfully who he is to people who do know him so that we might know him better. And we do this through the two primary things of word and prayer. We are absolutely dependent on God's revelation of himself in Scripture, as well as prayer, to know him, to walk with him, to pray to him, to seek his face, to take hold of him, to know him through prayer, privately, corporately, in community. This is really what we're pursuing. This is the foundation for everything else that we do. So if we're not doing this, and this isn't what everything is ultimately about, then we're maybe something akin to a a country club or a golf club or something like that, but we're not the church unless we're connecting with God and knowing him more deeply. So that's the first major category, and you can think that that's vertical. That's what all of this is about us knowing God more deeply through Christ. The second major category won't be a surprise to you, which is the connecting people to the church community. The church community to fulfill the commands of Jesus to love one another, to serve one another, to pray for one another, to build up, to edify, as we've seen 1 Corinthians 14, that our desire is to prophesy that we might edify, that we might build up, that we might strengthen, we might help one another, and care for one another. And that could be physically, that could be spiritually, whatever their needs are, there are in the community. See, we're trying to connect people to God himself and to internally the church community. So those two things won't be a surprise, I think, to any of you. We do that, again, through word and prayer. We do that through physical care of one another, what comes out of our church covenant. And so there's that general category. So part of what we're doing in community group is connecting the church in community. Third, connecting to the city. And let me give a qualifier here, because city is a term that I'm going to be using to simply identify people. When I say city, I don't mean skyscrapers. I don't mean pavement. I don't mean people compacted together. The way that I'm going to be using city is people. City isn't a city without people. And so if you don't like that term, then let's use the term neighbors, connecting the people to our neighbors. Problem with that is that if we think of neighbors, we just think of the people that live around the block. Okay, well, let's think about neighborhoods. Well, then if we only use the term neighborhoods, we're going to think only the people on Van Treese Avenue and between West and East Marthona. And so we continue to just wrestle with what term should we use. Every term, if we use culture, culture comes with its own baggage. So we finally settled on city, simply because city identifies people. And so whether you're out in the country and your nearest neighbor is 5 acres away, or whether you're in an apartment complex with people 5 foot or 10 foot above you and 10 foot below you and 10 foot on each side of you, wherever it is, what we might mean by the city is simply the people around and with whom you connect on a daily basis, and who you are a part of. So in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in your workplace. So please don't let city be a stumbling block. We mean the country, we mean the city, we mean where people are. And so wanting to connect people then in this way to, now we've already covered evangelism under point one. This is about serving, connecting people to God through evangelism. That's one thing. Sir? The purpose of the church in community. The church, the people of God.
Right, so it's not RBCN. You're not talking about us specifically only. You're like the church in total.
Yeah, the church in total, of which we're a subset.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so by city, what we're talking about here is not the city in regards to evangelism, but if you'll notice what we laid out here, serving the city. In other words, serving the people around us, whether it's Madison or whether it's White House or whether it's Nashville or whether it's Mount Juliet or wherever it is, where can we serve? Now, evangelism, again, is covered under the first point, getting people to know God through the gospel. This has to do with how to do good, how to seek the shalom, Jeremiah 29. And there are two major categories that we'll eventually expand on, which are works of justice. And works of justice are just simply what is good, what is right. It may be that in somebody's neighborhood, there are a lot of these rip-off rent-to-own places or rip-off, give us your promise of your next check and we'll give you some cash. You know, some of those things are unjust. So it may be issues of justice in regards to abortion. It may be issues of justice in regards to the service of a community and the laws of a community and that kind of thing. It's going to be a number of varied things. But justice means doing what is right, doing what is good and right to the people around us. And then also a second major category are works of mercy. This could be a mission. It could be a food pantry. It could be something of after-school programs for children. It is asking questions about what we can do as salt and light in the world to reach out, to serve people, yes, for evangelistic opportunities, yes, but also because it's the right thing to do. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And that's just not the church. That is with everybody we interface with. Remember Jesus in answer to the question, who is my neighbor? Right? And it's the Samaritan, who comes along and sees the guy beat up on the side of the road, and as an act of mercy and justice, protects him, takes him under his wing, takes him into a place and heals him and does what's necessary to help him. So asking about that. So connecting us as a church, challenging us as a church, how do we serve our community? Because it's the good, it's the right, it's the gracious thing to do. The fourth is then, which is a slightly different category, which is the culture. Now, in Christian circles, the word culture is used in a lot of different ways. It has a lot of different baggage. Here's what I mean by culture. Culture is essentially the artifacts of what people make. Okay, so some people make things with spreadsheets. Some people make things with art. Some people make things with words. Some people make things with architecture. Some people make things with laws. Some people make things with, I think I already mentioned, music. There are things that we make, and that's what I mean by culture, are things that human beings produce. And if you have people pursuing those things that are good and righteous and just, then their culture is going to be good and righteous and just. If you have people who don't have those things and don't have those principles, then culture is going to produce something by way of entertainment, by way of movies, by way of architecture, things that are not for the good of human flourishing. And so by culture, basically, it is by integrating our faith with our work, not only seeing our work, our gardens, our homes, our numbers, our spreadsheets, our music, our computer programming, our whatever, those are things of human making and thinking intentionally, how do I work in this setting of whatever God has called me to do, not just to look for opportunities for evangelism, but to create a culture that is good and right and wise. And how do we impact that? And whatever things that I do, how do I do them in a way that causes and brings about the glory of God in what we produce and whatever either employment or hobbies or things that we do, and also seeking to influence the cultural ideas and hobbies and entertainment and things as much as we have opportunity to do good. And that could be everything from if somebody was in California and there was a group of screenwriters and there was a Christian who was a screenwriter, having a Bible study and talking about what is good and what is right and what is noble and trying to influence other screenwriters. I'm not a screenwriter, so that's not going to be my calling. But you get the idea of whatever our work is in what we produce, doing it for the glory of God and seeking to do it for the good and the flourishing of others. Okay, so there are a lot more can be said about all of those categories, but those, as we understand it, are the basic big term RBC. What do we want to be doing over the next 2, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years by God's grace, with his help? What kind of things do we want to be pursuing? We believe that all of these are not, that none of these are optional, that all of these are essential to what it means to live as exiles, pilgrims, in the world in which we live. Now, I think that the first two categories of our worship of God, our evangelism, that could be, so to speak, beefed up. But as far as worship and as far as church community, if we have any strong points, I think those are it. When it comes to issues of the city, I think we've made some attempts to do some things. When it comes to issues of culture, maybe there's some, but those two out of the four, in my estimation, are things that we're less adept at than the first two. So that's kind of the big picture. And then when we talk about community groups, you're going to see that there's a tie-in with some of the long-term goals that we're thinking about, some of the things that we'd like to pursue. You're going to see how these fit into these four different categories. So let me stop and give you time for opportunities for questions, comments, just about these four these four categories that we've hammered out. Okay. All right. No questions. All right. Because you know what I'm going to say, right? I'm going to deal with that later. All right. Okay. So if those are our goals, if those are our desires to worship God in community, to serve in acts of justice and mercy for the creation of culture that is honoring to the Lord, whether anybody else does or not, is indifferent to the fact that we're pursuing that, then here we as elders, this is a visible symbolic representation of you, RBC Nashville. As you see there, as I counted last night, we have approximately, if we count the applications, assuming that the applications that have been turned in will go through, assuming that, we have about 98 members, plus those of you who are regular visitors among us. Those of you who've been around a while remember the days in which I was teaching literally two people in a room. That is quite different than where we are now. Some of the approach to ministry has had to be challenged just as we have grown. And we have been here since the beginning, and I don't think numbers has ever been an emphasis. We've enjoyed slow, steady growth. It's never been programmatic in pursuing and harping and get people to church and get people in the seats. That's never been an issue. It's always been an attempt to faithfully preach and teach the word. And as we have sought to do that, by God's grace, we have enjoyed slow, steady growth with a surge of growth over the last year. Now, this isn't because we got the right books or we got the right program, but because the Lord has added to us, to the church, as he is pleased. And so God has brought us these families. And so I have an older map. I should have put it on here when we had about 5 or 8 families, I think. And I had them mapped out in this exact same way. And none of us were next door to one another. None of us were in the same area. There was one way up here, one way down here, one way over here. We had some up in Portland. And it was just crazy all over the map. Well, this has begun to change for us. So in answer to the question that we've been asking, how do we do what we do better? How do we handle what we have been doing? What's become clear is that right about our stage, and you've heard me say this before, pastoral care and oversight becomes complicated. It becomes difficult. It becomes when you have one full-time guy and three not even part-time guys who have a very limited time that they can dedicate to pastoral care, it becomes very complicated. It becomes a reactionary business where all you're doing is trying to take care of code red people. And when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to nurturing, when it comes to outreach, when it comes to other things, that you become so reactionary that just ordinary Christian discipleship and Christian growth, apart from the pulpit, becomes very difficult. And that's just where we are and what we've had to face. And so there we are. I've got everybody on here but Nana and Papa, as much as I manipulated the screen in order to make sure that the tailors up there, up all the way top, we made sure that they knew they were in. The only way I could do that was, that doesn't even sound right now, to cut Nana and Papa out. That doesn't sound right. But anyway, so that's where we are. So you'll see, and you may recognize where your dot is. I've tried to update that. So this is what we're dealing with. So what would be really great is if there was a clump of people here, and a clump of people here, and a clump of people here, and a clump of people here, all in the same neighborhood. But as you can see just from the map, even transportation or getting to different places, when it goes to laying out the community groups that we're going to suggest or encourage, that becomes complicated, becomes difficult. So we'll come back to that in a bit. All right, so let me, in this section, on this slide, be as clear as I can on what I'm defining community group as, what we are defining a community group as, what we as elders are. Because if you have a background in the church, community group may mean to you, every time you hear community group, you think Bible study with a group of people in a home. Or you may think small group, or you may think college group, or you may think people who just get together to hang out and watch movies together. You may have all different kind of ideas. So in this slide, and I'm going to provide these slides for everybody so you'll have my notes later, I want to be very clear on what community group is, and this very first point is the most important point that I'm going to make on this entire slide of what we are identifying community group as, because it's probably different than what you're expecting, unless you've talked to me over the last 6 months. First of all, here's the essence. The essence of a community group is a group of people. a group of people, generally with geographic proximity, and I've chosen my words carefully, generally, not always, not must be, but generally, with geographic proximity, who care for one another. Okay, does anybody see anything there about a Bible study? Or a midweek meeting? Or outreach? That's because it's not essential to the way I'm defining community group. It's a group of people who belong to, in our case, the same membership of the same church, who basically are looking at one another and saying, I'm committed to care for you. When I stand up and I read the church covenant, in a special way, I'm saying that covenant is for those who are my closest neighbors. That it may be difficult to love Nana and Papa or the Taylors or think of it, some of the Wards or some who are out on those far fringes if you live on the opposite end of the spectrum from them. And so when you stand up to read the church covenant, and if you were to ask yourself, how can I keep this church covenant with those people, that may not be as immediately, as easily identifiable as the people who are two blocks over, 5 miles away, within 5 minutes driving distance. And so what we're doing is we're encouraging the thinking of the community group as a group of people generally in close geographic-ish, close-ish, and there's going to be a lot of ishness in this, so just get ready for that, that basically we're saying, okay, we are taking responsibility for one another to make sure you're okay, to make sure is what I call a front line of defense for prayer and ministry and care, that we're going to identify those people in our area, not by affinity of the people that I like or who like the things that I like, but just by the fact that God has put us together providentially and he has appointed our boundaries. And then we're going to say, I'm going to be committed to pray for you. I'm going to be committed to know you. I'm going to be committed to care for you. When you're absent from church for a couple of weeks, if nobody else notices, we're going to notice. And we're going to call and we're going to say, how you doing? Is everything okay? Well, I've been sick. Oh, we didn't know. Can we come? Can we bring you some soup? Can we do something? Can we help you? It is that group of people rather than the people, and I'll describe it this way. There's some people in our church who, when they see need or they see a particular area, they're the ones who run very quickly into that need. And it doesn't matter if they're 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, 15 minutes, 30 minutes away. And here's what happens. Imagine two people who have gifts. One of them has that kind of a spirit. And they're just like, you know, they're always looking and they're always cocked and ready to go, right? They're always, and then they see a need, they run to it. Here's this other person who thinks, I may want to do that too. And so they go, okay, and then they hear about a need, and that person like runs, the other person like, And then a need over here, and boom, that person zooms past. Well, what happens is if that person is assigned to a particular group to minister, there are latent gifts within us that may not be being used because there are those that you think, or maybe even actually practice or are more quick at doing those things. You thought, well, I kind of assumed it was already taken care of because of this. So gifts can be latent, and with these kind of responsibilities can be pulled out, and I can actually discover my gifts within a smaller group of people than a larger group of people where, I mean, have any of you ever struggled even with the idea of when I come here, what is my place? What do I do here? I got some big nods. What is my place? What am I doing here? Rather than being just a recipient of teaching, what is my function? What is my role in the body of Christ? How am I serving? And there are some of you that I think are genuinely perplexed, and this might be part of the issue, is because you see gifts maybe that you think are more developed or more gifted than you, and you would like to or be interested in exploring those ideas. But in the beginning, basically everybody has to do something. So we've been here as a church plant for 17 years in Nashville. And in the beginning, pretty much nobody hid from anything. Everybody was going to be doing something. Everybody was contributing. Once I let go of control, because in the beginning I was just like, and I was like, oh, I got to leave some of this control to other people. But then as you grow, then you come and you say, well, what can I do? Let me know if there's something that I can do. And then things happen and people forget, and we sit in membership interviews and say, well, I'm willing to do whatever you'd like me to do. And so when I get an email and somebody needs some help, I don't think, now, who are all of the people in those membership interviews who said they'd be willing to do anything we would need them to do? I just don't think that way. So this is the opportunity. The essence of this group is, from these, for some of these various reasons, a group of people, and taking ownership is not the right term, but taking responsibility and saying, we're committed to work out these things with one another. So does everybody understand the basic essence? It's not a meeting. It's not an activity. It's a group of people taking responsibility in love to care and edify one another. Is everybody with me? And we would agree that as a church, that is a goal as a church. Now, how do we do that well as a church that's spread out in all these different areas and don't live in the same neighborhood? That's what we're dealing with. Yeah, Ben. Are you less responsible? No, and let me put it this way, that this is I'm going to come later to the distinction I make between suggestion, encouragement, and mandate. And here's why, because if I don't make this clear now, some people are going to interpret me as saying this. You know the friends that you have now? You can't be friends with them anymore. You got to be friends with the people in your community group, and that's it. Somebody's going to think that, right? Some of you maybe already have. Oh, we used to hang out with these people because we like them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a commitment to care. So I'm not going to say that the other lessons, we are responsible for the whole body, just as we as elders. But the question is, how do we best serve the entirety of the body? And as far as we can see, we can best serve by making service something that is, for instance, if I said to you, we are committed to pray for one another. How many have said that in the church covenant every month for the past year? We're committed to pray for one another. How many of you have prayed by name for every family in the... Well, don't raise your hand. I would ask this question. How many of you have been faithful to that covenant commitment, have prayed by name for every one of those families? Some of you, I trust, have. But how do you pray for people that you don't even know? And that's the reality. We're having to deal with some things with realities of, oh, these people became a member and I've never even spoken with them. That is a totally new phenomena for us. That is totally new. Back in the day when we got gathered in that little house on Edmondson Pike, you walked in the room and everybody saw you and everybody knew you and everybody introduced themselves to you. When we were back at the hotel, somebody came in and they, like a flock of seagulls, came sweeping in and ate you up. And either you loved it or you ran away screaming, thinking it was a cult. So now people come in and they can move in and out. And if somebody's more introverted, they can move in and out. You're so busy trying to take care of other relationships. So my point in all that is, how do we go deeper with care in light of the frustration of how can I know so many people? How can I pray for so many people? How can I be responsible for so many people? How can I keep covenant with so many people? And again, we're dealing with a phenomena that the early church really didn't deal with. Once the church spread out of Jerusalem, you essentially have house churches. So however many people you could fit ordinarily into somebody's home is the group of people that were one anothering one another. That's the way that it was in the ancient world. It was later when they began to build cathedrals to house hundreds and thousands of people, that the church became this more of that kind of an entity. Okay, so in answer to your question, not less, but feeling a sense of these people are my particular responsibility. Just like I would say, am I any less responsible for loving you because I have a wife? No, the answer is no. Or because I have children, but it's a different responsibility of love, right? It's a different kind, not a different kind of love, but it's love manifested because of their proximity to me, to my relationship to them, and so on. So if I have a neighbor down the street that I really don't like who's a member of the church, and my best friend lives 45 minutes away, then I should probably check my motive if I'm always ministering to that person 45 minutes away, and yet I won't take care of the person that I don't particularly like and doesn't drink the coffee that I care for who's up the block, you know? So... okay, that's too long of an answer for a simple question. See.
I was just thinking of the way that the whole conversation so far is framed is the proposition is as a burden or a responsibility.
Yeah.
But when we think about our loved ones, or family members, we are anxious to do for them. And I know that some people here have those relationships. And that's what we want to foster, is just an idea of that this is a gift. That we are excited to be able to minister to one another.
Amen.
A family kind of a... These are my brothers and sisters.
That's right.
And I'm closer now with people in this church than I am lots of my family.
Yes. Amen. Very good. Everybody hear him okay? Yeah? No? Essentially that, I think he's encouraging it just us not to think of it as merely a burden, but as a privilege, an opportunity, because out of love, this is our family. This is our family. But if you're anything like me as far as remaining sin, there are some people easier to minister to than others. There are some people you want to call to see how they're doing. There are other people you don't. And that comes from everything from my remaining sin to personalities to affinities and everything else. And as the church, I just don't see that that's an option, is it? It's just not, well, you know, I want to be part of the cool kids kind of thing. So, yeah.
I think it also adds a sense of focus to Good. What we as individual believers would feel able to handle.
That's,
It's hard to, as you said, to love the whole church in the same way. It's a lot easier if you said, I've got 10 people that God, in his providence,
yes.
has given me accountability for, some focus for. I can find ways of caring for these people a lot easier than if I got to care for 50 or 100.
That's right. Yeah. Much better stated than when I said it earlier. That was the point I was trying to get to, but having that focus. Okay, let me move on or I won't finish. Okay, so here are three things, three concepts of what we view a community group doing. Now, again, this is over time. This isn't next week. This isn't necessarily a month from now or 6 months from now. These are three concepts, and you'll see that they're working from inward to outward. First of all, a community group meeting. As you know, we have dislocated the prayer meeting. And you've heard my spiel already on I don't like the idea of or the concept or the terminology of we have canceled the prayer meeting. We've not canceled prayer. What we are doing is we are taking the central prayer meeting, which some from other areas were coming to, in order to plug them into community groups for the purpose of word and prayer. Those are our two primary functions. So the community group meeting is a midweek meeting, and again, we're going to, or it could be a Sunday night meeting. We're not... I just put midweek because that's how most of them are going now, or all of them are going. So a weekly gathering, it could be that a group says Sunday night's the best for us all, or a Tuesday night, or a Thursday night. We're not going to, we're the elders, we said Wednesday. No, it's just a meeting, and the particular focus of that is a gathering for the purpose of the application of the word and prayer. Now, in some cases, that might be sermon review. In some cases, that might be a book study. In some cases, it might be something else. But we don't want to diminish prayer, and we don't want to diminish the place of the word. We don't want it just to be a Bible study with 5 minutes tacked on at the end for prayer. And it's also not going to be ordinarily a dedicated prayer meeting, though sometimes there will be. We believe we need, as community, both the word and prayer, and we don't want either to squeeze the other one out. We think they're both absolutely essential. The word and prayer are not in competition with one another. It's both. And so what that's going to look like over time is going to change. It's going to be somewhat in flux. We're going to try to give some direction, but that's essentially the idea that we're getting together to get to know one another, to minister to one another, to pray for one another, and to have a prayer meeting with the influx, the input of the word that brings that group more closely together as Christians. This is not a social gathering. This most of the time will probably not include a meal, though it could if somebody wanted to. That's not the essence of it, is we're getting together for the purpose of word and prayer. The third thing, now we're moving out, is that category of serving the community in acts of justice and mercy. We're going to be asking you and your community group leaders to start asking questions over time of what can we, as a group, do in our community that are either acts of justice to do good, to do what is right, to serve the community in some way, or acts of mercy. And I gave examples of those earlier. How can we do that together? Because I think that a lot of our American thinking is so atomistic and so individualistic that when it comes to these things, we just go run off and try to do them on our own. But we're going to be asking questions, how can we serve the crisis pregnancy center together that's in our area as a group? How can we serve Cottage Cove? How can we serve Chippington as a community? How can we serve in some other community? With your all's prayer and with the guidance and understanding of your particular community group leaders, you're going to be making that decision. It's not going to be appointed by the elders. We're not going to stand up on a map and throw a dart at all these ministries and say, okay, that's the one you're going to do. That's something for you to explore and ask questions. How do we serve this? How do we get our family involved? How do we get our kids involved? What are some things at this stage of life that we can do? Maybe we could go to a nursing home and sing songs. Maybe we could go take our kids. You know how much nursing home folks love little children? You say, what kind of ministry can we do when we have all these little kids? Oh, take them to the nursing home. Be plenty of ministry opportunity there. So being creative, and we want every group to take its own shape and form, and a shape and form that may change and probably will change over time. It's not going to be what you do this year is necessarily what you do next year. And so you're moving as you develop and grow. So serving the community in acts of mercy and justice. And then lastly, what I'm calling just a social gathering, which has both a social dimension of just us spending time together. Now, this is where the meal comes in, or a picnic, or a special activity at the zoo or something like that. But we're going to do that, again, as a community. And we're going to do that with the desire to bring non-Christians in to interface with us. So it might be a mom's group. It may be a dad's group. It may be a disc golf get-together. But it's those activities where we're going to intentionally pull in non-Christians so that they can see our love for one another, so they can see our care for one another. Now, these are not going to be done, I'll say it one more time, over the next week, over the next month, over the next 6 months even. But these are categories I want us to be asking questions about and thinking about. What are some ways we can do this? And not, how do I add all of these activities to my schedule? Because I know some of you well enough, you're thinking, I've got no time for this. There's no way I can do this. Rather, asking the question, how do I begin to integrate Christian mission into my life? Not just how do I add things to my schedule. How do I begin to make choices? Because, serving in community and getting together to eat a meal, how do I do that and then integrate it in a way that makes it a blessing to other people? Okay, because any of you eat meals? Okay, some of you do. Good. Glenn's very enthusiastic with that. Eat meals, okay. Eat meals with one another. Eat meals with one another, invite a couple of non-Christian friends. Okay, so you're going to be eating anyway at some point. You're going to be making supper. How about throwing some extra noodles in there and inviting a couple of non-Christian friends? Okay, it's not an event-oriented, okay, now we've got to plan 17 evangelistic events over the next. How do we work life together? Or as a friend of mine says in Louisiana, how do I be who I is where I was at? He said, biblical evangelism includes be who you is, where you at. Okay, so if it's a scrapbooking club, if it's a pool club, if it's the gym, if it's whatever, how do I do that and not do different things, but do it with gospel intentionality? Okay, so it's not a bunch of events. So let me make this clear. There will be some people who will be a part of a community group who will not partake in any of the other meetings. But they're still part of the community group. There's still those who need to be ministered and cared for. For instance, Papa. Papa's not going to come to a weekly meeting in the middle of the week. He's probably not going to be able to serve community at this point. He's not going to be able to go into social gatherings and interact with non-Christians. He's in a care home right now, but he needs to be cared for by the church and Nana and others. So you may have shut-ins. You may have people who are sick. You may have people who just at this point either aren't sold enough or don't see the need for it. And one of the things that in every piece of literature I've had in a lot of research in this territory is to recognize There will be some of you who just either won't care or won't get it at this point. And you know what? I love you anyway. And you're going to be a member of this church, and you're going to be loved on, and you're going to be cared for, and you're not going to be thought of as less of a Christian. You're not second class. It's none of that. There are some of these concepts that are going to take over time for us to change the DNA of the church and to change the thinking about what some of this looks like. And so there will be some people who just, maybe they're just grumpy. I just don't want to get together for a midweek meeting because I'm already too busy. Okay, we love you. And when you miss church or you're sick, we're going to come serve you anyway. We're going to come and love you, and we're not going to do it with any angst. We're not going to do it, but you will be cared for. You will be in a community group, though you may not attend any of these other events or outings or anything like that. Okay, so there may be some who are better in some of these areas. There'll be some who come to the midweek meeting. There'll be some who don't, who say, but when you do that with the mission, and you go down there and you serve those men, then I want to be a part of that, okay? So this is not a measure of the Christian life. This is not our Messiah. This is not our new hope. This is not our salvation. It's us trying to figure out how to shepherd well, to fulfill in a very busy culture and society the New Testament commission to go and make disciples and to serve, etc. So not everyone will participate in all activities, but nevertheless should be, and I'm going to assert, will be cared for. Second, we are laying a foundation with the first two, and I've already said this a couple times, the others will develop over time. Okay. Is that clock right, or is, I've got 128 on here. Oh, wait a minute. I've got three timepieces. I'm going to go best two out of three. Okay. All right. So any questions? That means we're okay right now. Any questions about these general concepts? Please, please, please don't feel overwhelmed. We're going to be going deeper into this. This is not all that you're going to get of this. This is going to be a current recurring theme over the next several months. Any questions?
I think it sounds encouraging.
Great. I should take a poll. Who's encouraged? Who's scared? Who? Randy, did you have your hand up? Yeah, Randy.
Are we still going to have a prayer sheet?
Yeah, our plan right now is to continue to have that prayer sheet so we can distribute. And we actually want to give more information about our missionaries, but we want to continue to do that for now. Yes. 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 Yeah, that was our last plan, was to continue to do the prayer sheets to give some direction. Yeah, the family of the week and so on. Yes, Steve.
Some of the idea of this is the resistance to it would be so cultural because in modern America we're so busy. And coming from a farming life or a farming community, the word for, and I'm going to get a little heady here, but the Celtics and the people in the South, they worked. And it's not the word that we use casually. It means that they leisurely milked cows and leisurely worked in the garden.
That's boy, yeah, yeah.
And that's the idea of what the work of the church is. It's kind of that we enjoy it and we don't beat ourselves up with it. It's something that we develop.
That's right. That's excellent. That's excellent. Which goes back to the Sunday school I did on post-industrial culture and so on, how we think this event, calendar, instead of Tuesday when the sun comes up, we're going to go do this. Yeah. And there's no, wait a minute, you're 5 minutes late. There was no 5 minutes late in an agricultural setting when people didn't even have personal timepieces. So that's excellent. All right. Yes. Yes. I'll come to that. I will come to that in the coming. And that's something that I'll take personal responsibility for. When we went through Total Church a few years ago, I mean, I really had no idea. You know, a lot of what I do, I just have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just giving it a shot. I hope that doesn't undermine a sense of trust. But some things, when you do something new, I mean, it's new because you've not done it before. So when we went through Total Church, because of some of my own failures in leadership and just not knowing even how to do some things, we suggested it. Some of them got started, and there have been some blessings that have come out of that. But one of the things that I failed to do, I'll take responsibility, was give direction, is to establish leaders and give direction and be plugged into what's going on. We have set up a what I hope will be a process where that's going to be totally, totally different. Okay, so we'll come to that in a couple of slides, or maybe the next slide. Okay, so the essence is a group of people generally geographically in closer proximity who are caring for one another. Three major things over time that we would like to see them do. One is just a weekly meeting where they're getting together for the word and prayer. That's connecting us more deeply with God and knowing him and sharing our lives, praying for one another, actually knowing these people and interacting with them, looking for some opportunity for justice or mercy to serve in the community. And then the fourth is, how do we get together and have lives that are, it may not even be an event so much as we're just going to have lives that we're starting to pull people in to see what Christians look like and see what an alternate kingdom looks like. Okay, next one, community group leaders. Here we are. This is the slide, Heidi. So community group leaders, also known as CGLs, because sometimes you get your fingers get tired typing community group leader over and over and over in a document, or community groups. So CG or CGLs for community group leaders. So here's the charge that we gave, at least a summary of the charge we gave the men. And in some cases, the wives of the men that we met with as well, who are interested, who are going to be meeting with the women, and I'll explain more of that in a minute. Okay, so a couple of things to keep in mind in regards to community group leaders. These community groups, we are asserting, are an extension of and not a replacement for the church. All right, so the church is the gathering, the church and elder responsibilities. We're not trying to abrogate any of our responsibilities. We're trying to exercise our responsibilities more faithfully. And so what we're trying to do in that is to encourage these community groups and to see that this doesn't become my pseudo church. It is the church, and in one sense, yes, it is. We're two or three gathered together and all of that. But this is not a replacement. These are not pseudo elders. They are, as I'll name them in a minute, gospel co-workers or gospel associates. Okay, they are working under the authority of the eldership. These men have not been recognized, generally speaking, by the suffrage and vote of the people. The elders have. We have given them a delegated responsibility to care for these groups and through whom we will be shepherding, because we just can't multiply ourselves. Cloning doesn't quite work the way it does in the movies, and we just can't clone ourselves and be everywhere at the same time. So it's not an extension of, or an extension, it is an extension of, not a replacement for the church and the responsibilities of the elders. The community group leaders will be assisting the elders in shepherding the flock as fellow workers. And in the ESV, go look up. It's really an exciting term. Fellow workers in Christ, Paul says at one point. Fellow workers in the kingdom of God. Paul uses this four times, and I think John uses it once in the New Testament, of somebody who was not an elder, was not an apostle, and yet had influence in the churches, had responsibilities in the churches. They weren't deacons. They're just identified as fellow workers or co-workers. It's a compound word in the Greek, means, I think it's soon ergo. It's to work together with, work together withers. So these are our work together withers, the community group leaders are. So they're an extension of what we're seeking to do in caring for the flock. They don't have authority of church discipline. They don't have authority of the elders in that sense. They are under the authority of the eldership and being directed by them. So this is not their own personal ministry. This doesn't mean they have started their own personal or their own private church. It is under the auspices of RBC. Third, the responsibility includes communicating with the elders, the plans of the group, and participation of individuals and families. So as things come up by means of prayer, if we hear there's a family that's really struggling, it's really having a hard time in the marriage, then we want the community group to be the first line of defense, to care, to love, to be concerned for. And then, as with the Jethro principle, remember that in the book of Exodus, where Jethro comes along, he's apparently a new believer, and he looks over all of Israel, and Moses is trying to judge the cases and give righteous judgment and care and direction and counsel for all the people. And Jethro tells him, find out these men who are faithful, full of wisdom, and then let them bring the hard cases to you. So ordinarily, in Christian growth and flourishing and discipleship, the church in one anothering ought to care for the majority of the issues in the Christian life. There will be some particularly difficult situations that may need to be brought out of that particular, or not brought out of, but in addition, be brought to the elders for particular care, counseling, direction, that kind of thing. And so it's not an abrogation of authority, of responsibility, but rather a spreading of the ministry that we are equipping the saints for, Ephesians 4, that the saints do the work of ministry, that the saints build up the body, with the elders as the ones responsible for the particularly difficult, perplexing, confusing issues. So it can't be, oh, now I can hide from the elders and just reveal to this group and the elders won't know anything about me. No, we will be in frequent communication. How is this family? How's their marriage doing? Have you asked them about this? And we'll be caring through these fellow workers. All right? The last thing, in conjunction with the elders, to identify, affirm, and encourage spiritual gifts. What are the spiritual gifts? How can you be used? And so you're going to have your community group leaders asking you to do some things. Given time and responsibilities and abilities, it may be that you have, again, some latent gifts that we're going to be working together with the community group leaders to try to identify where you can function, how you can serve well, and to affirm those gifts and encourage those gifts. One of the beauties of this is, let's say that there's a community group that has a particular need. It's a physical need, it's maybe to move or something like that. So that community group leader who's connected with all of the people in that, if they don't have the resources, or let's see if it's even a financial need of somebody in that group, something has happened, they've gotten sick, they've lost work, and they can't make this month's rent, the first line of defense is going to be that community group. How can we love and serve and give sacrificially to our brothers and sisters in Christ, some of whom in the New Testament sell everything that they have in order to care for the saints in Jerusalem? But if it's a financial, physical, spiritual, whatever, then we've got all of these other community groups that then the community group leaders themselves are also going to be talking to one another. And I'll talk about that in just about 1 minute, I think, or a couple minutes. They're going to be not only communicating with the elders, but also with one another. So, well, we need a truck to help somebody move some mulch this Saturday. Okay, well, nobody in our group has a truck. They can reach out to some, and I'm picking something pretty mundane, but they can reach out to somebody else who does have a truck. So rather than emails always being blasted out to everybody at the same time, the community group is going to be the one to see what gifts are there, what resources are there. And if they just can't handle it, they don't have what's necessary to minister to that particular need, then we'll start linking up with other. It may eventually come to a church-wide issue or a church-wide request, but that's going to be the first line of care and defense. Okay, so those are some of the responsibilities of community group leaders. You should have been, unless you're in my group, been connected with already, and there's some reasons I haven't yet because, well, I won't give them to you now. It'll take too long. Okay, but you will be contacted, Lord willing, by Wednesday for sure. Gospel and Life. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we are doing then. The most helpful book, and I've been researching, thinking about this in total at least a couple of years, if not longer, through the book Trellis and the Vine, through Brad House's book on community, through resources from Tim Keller, through resources through J.D. Greer, some older Acts 29 material. So all of this stuff and what I'm giving you and what we have worked through is kind of a mishmash of, and Soma, the Soma groups of kind of house churches. So I've pulled from or been influenced by or thought through at least four, if not five, different models of how I've seen or read it done. So the best summary of, and what we agree on as an eldership, that we want to be able to communicate our core values is a book by Tim Keller called The Gospel in Life. And what I'm doing right now, and this again is the idea that we're going to work in core values to be worked out over time. Okay, so we're going to eventually be going through this material together in community groups. But right now what I'm doing is I'm meeting every week for the next 8 weeks with all of the community group leaders via Google Hangouts, which is a great technology, by the way, just amazing that you don't have to plan on your schedule to drive somewhere and go see somebody face-to-face. You can do that via the computer. But to do that, I'm working through this book with them for the next 8 weeks. And then at some point after that time, they're going to begin to take you, as far as our present plan, through the same material, but we're going to take longer to do that, maybe up to 6 months. We don't want this to turn into a Tim Keller book study, okay? What we do want is to in word and in prayer, begin to work in some of the ideas that I've already mentioned on the first slide of our pursuit of people, our ministry, and so on. Over time, if we do it too quickly, it won't sink in as deeply. It's kind of like going to the gym and working out for 4 hours and deciding you're never going to do that again. You know, it's better to go for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you know, a couple times a week and then, you know, build up momentum with it. So community groups then will eventually, and we don't have dates on this yet, we're just going to go see how it goes with the community group leaders, work this out over time and begin to communicate some of those core values and what they may mean for us. I don't agree with Tim Keller on everything. I don't. I'm not a fanboy in the sense that I think he's a new apostle or a new oracle. But I do think that this book is exceedingly helpful in communicating some of those core ideas that we've been wrestling through. Okay, so finally, in the half minute that I'm past that doesn't remain, here's some things. Difference between pastoral suggestion, encouragement, and mandating. Suggesting is something like this. Hey, if you guys think it's a good idea, you can do it if you want. Okay? We're not doing that. We're not also mandating. You must do this or you can't be a member of this church or you will become under church discipline. You must do this or, and you must go to all the meetings and you must be committed. We're not doing that. We're not mandating anything. What we are doing is encouraging. And encouraging an involvement, encouraging a deepening of fellowship, encouraging of a deepening relationships. So it's not a general suggestion that take it or leave it, it doesn't matter. But we're also not mandating it as if we have the authority to do this. But we're encouraging it as a way to be on mission. And at least as best as we see it now, this is a way to work in some of these various principles. Now let me say here, please be patient with us. And we will be committed to be patient with you, okay? We are not going to be angry at you if in a month, 2 months, 3 months, you're not doing it the way we thought it should be done. This is fluid. This is going to express itself different in different communities to some degree, which I think, is the third point. We are seeking to give general structure without stifling the individual features of groups and the work of the Holy Spirit within those groups who might have a different plan for that group than what we have. And so if you don't like something, talk to us about it. If you don't like the direction, if you don't like the book, if you don't like something that's going on, or if you do, let me put it positive, if you do like it, if you're excited, then communicate that to us as well. But these are encouragements that we're giving, including unless you have a really important reason, try to be a part of the community group that's closest to you. Okay? It's not a mandate. If you go to some other one, you say, whatever reason, I'm going to go all the way across town. We will love you. You are not a second-class citizen, etc. But because of what this is, it's not just a Bible study. It's a whole concept. Because of what it is, we want to encourage you to be a part of the community group that's closest to you. If that community group doesn't meet on the night that you're available, if you've got a five-minute some of the things that we looked at on the map, it was like, maybe here, maybe there. Those are suggestions. We encourage you to be a part of that the groups that are in closest proximity. But if you just have a reason that you really think you should go somewhere else, and we're going to love you. That will be fine. We'll work it out. Okay? Next, group size. This is going to be one of the most difficult things that we will deal with because what we're trying to do does not work in large groups because if it did, we wouldn't even be doing this. There's some sort of threshold, and I'm not going to give a number of what that is. There's some threshold in which doing these things becomes difficult, if not impossible. Okay? There might be a community group that has this many people on it, and this many people come to the community midweek meeting, and this many people come to the once-a-month get-together for a picnic or something. It's going to be different. But we want you to know that over time, this is not to hunker down and create another subculture that we're already guilty, partially guilty of, which is just batten down the hatches and let's close up the walls and let's just hunker down and get to know one another and love one another and keep everybody else out. This is with the view of impacting your community on mission for the kingdom of God. And what will happen if God blesses that? Growth. Is our goal growth in numbers? Well, he said, go make disciples of all the nations. So I'm not a numbers guy. However, Jesus says, go and make disciples, and I am with you. And so coming into the mindset, it's not, is this group of people, because listen how self-centered this is this group of people going to be that which I need for my Christian life or what I need? And finally, this might be a group of best friends that I've always been looking for. Notice how self-centered that is. Rather than this, God may use this as a tool to connect me more deeply with him through his word, through prayer, to know how to use my gifts to serve others and to reach others for the sake of the gospel, for me to serve in my gifts and works of mercy and justice. You see how different that is? And if that's the case and God gives growth, then there will be groups who will get to a certain size who will have to say within themselves, you know, for us to do this better, we need to be two groups. And we need more leaders. And then those two groups may eventually become four groups. Or that group may become a church. And let me make a clarification. On none of these slides will you see that our goal of these community groups is to plant churches. Let me put it this way. It's not our goal, but it may be an outcome. That's a very valid reality, is that, and we would bless God if that happened, that if there was a church, there are churches that are planted through these community groups. I think it creates a degree of health that we did not know in the early days of our church because of some of my own failures. So every group is going to have to wrestle with, and you're already wrestling with, the issue of size for some of you where you're meeting with men and then women and then everybody together, which brings another question, which is the last point. What do we do with children? We're going to have to figure that out. What we want to do, first of all, and we'll be talking about this in the congregational meeting, is protect them and care for them. We're going to have to ask questions about whether we just want childcare or whether we want this to be an intentionally spiritual time for them. Is there going to be the gifts in some of these groups to be able to take the children through something like an Awana program or something else where they're spending time nourishing and cherishing and caring for them? And that's part of that community group's responsibility, is to take turns through caring for those children. Here's a sobering reality, and this is something we've not yet swallowed, but in every model that I have studied, and every time I ask the question, what is done with the children? The answer is, it's not as bad as you think. The answer is, we get childcare for them, period. Either the church, they have it at the church building, or somebody else watches them, or we get a babysitter. And none of the models that I've seen as far as a regular community group meeting, the midweek meeting, not the other events, we want the children involved. But as far as the midweek meeting, no model that I've seen so far includes children. Okay? Which means, in the very least, it indicates a problem or a difficulty. Let me put it that way. It communicates a difficulty. If we can overcome that complication and figure out how to make that profitable for them and include them and do things with them, then let's do it. Let's figure out how to do it. I only say that these four or five models that I've seen don't do it to demonstrate that is a significant issue. Okay? So, but I'm willing for us to hang in there, try to figure it out. If it means splitting the men-women groups up, and if we can work that, then let's do that. But that's just something we're going to have to deal with. So some of you are just saying, I got little kids. They're not going to sit on my lap for that long. Okay? We're going to have to figure that out. We don't have answers to that yet. Okay? If you have suggestions, we're open to them, just not right in this minute because we're already over. Okay, so kingdom mindset of gaining by losing, growth and multiplication of groups if the Lord blesses, and I think that's where I will leave us. Okay, don't have time for questions. We're already over. Please email me. Please call me. Please text me. Questions, clarifications. Again, these are encouragements. We hope you're excited and not overwhelmed. And let's pray. Let's pray for the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for you and for us as leaders, for patience. Let's pray for dialogue. Let's pray for conversation. The worst thing that would happen is that you get ticked off at me or I get ticked off at you, and then we just shut down and we just don't interact, and then things fester. Let's figure this out together, because we believe this is where the Lord has led us. We have prayed. We have met for hours and hours and hours. We have not done this lightly. And if you totally disagree, I'm going to love you anyway. And it's okay. But we hope that you will put some degree of confidence in that the Spirit has made us overseers of this particular flock. And that we're seeking, if anything, we're seeking to do the best that we know how for the good, the spiritual good and encouragement of the church. All right, let's pray. Is it okay if we start a little late and I'll try to preach shorter again? You know, I only preached 37 minutes last week. Anybody notice that? Yeah. And 42 minutes the week before. So nobody's complaining, but thank you for your patience. Let's please pray. Lord, this is a lot to try to communicate in a single hour and 5 minutes, and we pray that the devil will not get a foothold. And Lord, as we have prayed as elders, as we've talked to these men as leaders, as we are trying to communicate this to the church, Lord, we confess community groups are not our savior, and this is not the thing that's going to fix our marriage. This is not the thing that's going to fix my assurance. These are not the things that are going to fix the problems of the world. But Lord, we pray for assistance by your Spirit, that it would be that which would be a part of the means of grace to help us to pursue Christ, to know him, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, to love one another, to love our neighbor, and to serve, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with you. So please, we beg you, give us your help in Jesus' name. Amen.